Let's talk a little bit about your work in rectal cancer. And actually, I interviewed Chris Willett as part of the same series. And I wonder if you could go back and talk a little bit about how this team was pulled together and the whole strategy of the way you were approaching the problem and then what you saw.
First of all, Chris Willett is a gem, I should mention to you. I was just so fortunate to have him at Mass General Hospital as a colleague. What a warm human being and an incredible clinician he is. And I've been mentioning to him over the years the work we are doing and finding in a preclinical setting, how anti-angiogenic therapy was helping radiation therapy. We had done work in two different papers. Another paper we had shown that bevacizumab was lowering interstitial fluid pressure in animal models. And we are trying to put the whole thing together. And I was just writing this editorial, this commentary in Nature Medicine, and I shared that with Dr. Willett, with Chris. And I said, would you be interested in trying to test this concept in patients? And he was very excited. He saw the data, preclinical data, and I know the limitation of preclinical studies probably as much as anybody else. But once you know the limitations, I think you can understand how to interpret the data. The problem is when you blindly take a preclinical work and proceed. I mean, that's not, I don't advocate that. So I invited him into our lab meetings. We had several conversations. And we put a team together of 22 physician scientists. And they came from more than half a dozen different disciplines. So there are people from my own laboratory who had expertise in measuring interstitial fluid pressure, Dr. E. Boucher, who started as a postdoc in my laboratory about 20 years ago. It had made measurements on more than 150 patients of different types of tumors and showed hypertension. And the challenge was to get this trial approved because it was more invasive than any trial. Plus, there was always this fear of bleeding with the bevacizumab, as you know. So you can imagine the trial wasn't approved first time by the IRB. We had to go back. I mean, Chris had to really fight for it. And we were very fortunate to get patients.
What was the actual protocol in terms of what happened to the patients?
So the protocol, oh, by the way, we finished our phase two trial just a couple of weeks ago with 32 patients. So the protocol was, it was a phase 1-2 trial, dose escalating trial. So the initial dose was 5 milligram per kilogram bevacizumab. So we designed trials so that, that was also, by the way, very unusual. The trial design was such that we could look at the effect of bevacizumab alone on tumor biology and then combination as well.
So there was a run-in period initially where they just got Bev.
Yes.
The other thing about this whole thing that was so different was the idea was to just focus on a small number of patients but use extremely intensive study of them.
I don't know of any other trial personally where so much has been obtained from so few patients. And I think the six patients provided more insight in anti-angiogenic therapy, to my knowledge, than any other paper prior or after that to date. I mean, and because of the multidisciplinary nature of it, I think, Neil, that's what really helped it.
So the patients got the Bev initially by itself, and then they started with, what, chemotherapy and radiation?
Yeah, along with Bev. And
right.
Then the full course is standard. You know, there was no change in the standard therapy, which was 5-FU infusion. Along with, I think, about 50.4 gray, given over 6.5 weeks, 5.5 weeks, I forget. Then there was a rest of 7 to 9 weeks, and then surgical resection at the end. What was unique about this trial was that we measured three different types of biomarkers. So we had imaging biomarkers that I explained were, you know, CT perfusion. That gave us perfusion, permeability, and vascular volume. Then we had PET FDG uptake. So those are the imaging biomarkers. Then we did circulating biomarkers, and that looked for a panel of now about 40 different cytokines in the circulation. And not in this trial, but another trial, we collected urine, maybe in this one too, and maybe I'll come to that later on. And we also measure two different cell populations. One is called circulating endothelial progenitor cells, CEPs, and the other one is called viable circulating endothelial cells, CECs. This was the first trial to measure both of them in any human population. And then we had tissue biomarkers, which is really was the most unique aspect of this trial. So we were able to look at not only quality of blood vessels by like microvessel density or pericyte coverage, but in addition to that, this is something we just finished and we haven't analyzed all of our data. We did another unique thing, which is laser capture with the dissection. So we could take out cancer cells and stromal cells from the pre- and post-treatment biopsy, paired biopsies. We are asking the question, what genes go up after you give bevacizumab, either in cancer cells or stromal cells?